Okay, I'm introducing myself, Leonces, so I'm Rika. the reason why I'm so interested in emotional intelligence, I'll get to now. What I'll attempt to do in 15 minutes is give you a short description of emotional intelligence, social skills, and relational practice. Then I'll also try and say why I think there's a connection between emotional intelligence and relational child and youth care. Principles for influencing a child's in emotional intelligence, EI for short, and then also activity examples. So I won't be able to get into that, but there is an article in the most recent, I don't know if they're getting this as well, Leon? They'll have access to the journal. So it's in the 2011 volume 24, there is an article on this that explains it in more detail, so please feel free to find it. Then, what emotional intelligence, why it intrigues me, is that you probably have heard by now but that there's something like 7 types of intelligences, so emotional and social intelligence is one of them. They found with certain studies that although people can be highly intellectual, they actually do have more success in the workplace if they also have emotional intelligence. So that brought me back to, well, where do you start to develop this? Is this childhood? Is it something that you need a talent for? Or is it something that child and youth care workers should be responsible for? So that just raised that question that was behind the article. So just in short then, they see it as the ability to perceive emotions. This would be the definition. To access and generate emotions, but for the purpose to assist in thought, how you think, and to reflectively regulate your emotions. So as you are aware of it, you can actually reflect on it, and therefore you should be able to manage it if you have this emotional intelligence skill. Then also that should eventually benefit you in terms of some of the other emotional intellectual growth. When they talk about it, they often talk about these 5 elements, which is self-regulation and self-awareness, which go together, motivation and empathy and social skills. So for the purpose of the article, which always has a limit, I only focus on social skills, but there is this amazing book that's referenced there that actually has activities for most of these emotional intelligence skills for children. It's specifically written for developing emotional intelligence in children. So then relational practice, just a short definition, is that it has to do with that in-between co-constructing that's happening. So why this also fits nicely for me with emotional intelligence is that you are part of that. If you're aware of what you're doing, you understand that you bring in something into that relationship. So you're already contributing to constructing this reality with the child, and the child brings something as well. So how emotionally intelligent is that what the child is bringing, and how can you assist the child in developing it? So that sort of implies that the child and youth care worker needs emotional intelligence themselves in terms of being aware of the effect. So I'll get back to that in a moment. The social skills that they, and social competence, if just to get a definition, because sometimes people refer to social skills very generally, and then yes, it sounds nice, but what is it that we're actually developing if we're developing social skills? So commonly known skills, if they just talk about it generally, is assertiveness, listening, and clear messages, your ability to give that, personalizing feelings, making requests, initiating and maintaining conversation, making friends, managing anger, solving problems, and personal grooming. So you can see these are all things that children should already be able to do at some point. Social competence to me is a bit more of a practical focus, because that's now breaking it down into what do we develop to get them to a competent, socially competent level, and that is basic interaction skills like smile, basic, like smile and eye contact, teaching them about how that works. Entry approach, like how to join a group. If you're standing on the outside, how do you get part of the group? Maintenance skills, friendship skills, which would mean something like the show of appropriate affection. It obviously means much more than that. How to resolve conflict, how to show empathy, communication of needs and ideas, their own needs and ideas. So basically to be heard. Then I don't know if you ever, I saw it on Facebook recently. They had this, I don't know if you remember, a video, a tape cassette that you used to play music in your car with. Okay. And I saw this picture that said, that had this tape on it and a pencil below it. And then they said, our children will never know the connection. So we know the connection, right? And that to me is a bit of, you you need to know this connection, and the only way you would know is if you had exposure to it before. So, like, you use the pencil. Does anybody need me to explain what the pencil is for? Okay. So find out from the rest if you don't know. Then you're very young. Then good for you. So in any case, so emotional intelligence feels like that to me. It's a bit of a, you must have felt it. And if you think about the opposite of social competence, it would be something like social incompetence. And that, just to put it simply for myself, it's like a bit of an emotional blind spot. Is you don't even know what you're not doing or what you're showing to people. Often if I train in this, I say to people, the moment you open your mouth, you start sharing your emotional intelligence with people. So it's that level of awareness. That's basically what's required here. Then to bring it back into our own language, the relational practice, what's interesting to me, why, again, it feels like emotional intelligence. You saw things in that list of five. Some of it was awareness that's very directed inward, but it's also the social skills, the relationship. So it works on both layers of relationship. So it has that, like, how you connect with yourself, your own awareness, your own well-being, but also how you relate with other people, that second layer of relationship. So if you're focusing on social skill, you're busy working on that interpersonal relationship, that in between with others, the second layer. So I hope you make notes of your question so I can clarify later. I'll be pushing now because I see Leon go for papers there, so I don't know. A note too. I made him write a note. So obviously your own social skill has, I think I've tried to explain that already, but how is it that you are going to show children how to enter a group if you maybe have struggled, like even as a grown-up, to enter a group? Like, we had a good exercise in terms of we kept on having to change groups and we had to start. How do you do that? Did you break it down? You know, like, one silly example is with my boy was saying, like, but how do you make new friends? And I said to him, you walk to someone and you tell them your name and you ask them their name. It's like breaking it down that concretely. And why I want to link that in is also the absolute awareness of where the child is developmentally, because you cannot expect a very abstract level of engaging on this level if they're not able to do that. So that would be the responsibility when I get to the philosophies or the principles of developing it with children. I'll get back to that as well. But just on this side, on the side of the childcare worker, I wanted the article to focus just on with children, but because it's this co-created thing, I had to sort of just touch for a moment on what's going on with the child and youth care worker, what is it that they bring in. And I only focus on two things, which is communication and stress, stress management, not just stress. You have to be able to manage it. So what they bring is their own ability to be clear with their messages, but to also understand what a child is able to communicate developmental level-wise. There's some research that has shown that a child of five can already change their message, what they want to say based on what they perceive from you, what they're picking up. And that's a sign of some form of emotional intelligence, because you're already adjusting your message to someone else, which can already start by five. So that's something significant. If you know that, you'll be more aware to look out for those moments that you can actually engage in. And then, of course, the stress management. There is a clip, I'll try to get that on the internet for you, which is it sort of like shows how not to manage stress. So if you get it, then please go look at it, because it's a woman walking up and slapping someone in the face. So that would be the opposite of managing your stress. And there's also a clip of this person, someone's irritating him on the other side, he's throwing airplanes at him, so he takes his screen and he just throws it over. And his boss is standing next to him, so he just continues typing on the keyboard without the screen in front of him. So that's sort of like not what you're supposed to be doing. So obviously if you... if you are able to manage your stress well, then you don't react from emotion. You don't react from that stress. And now, who can now argue that child and youth care workers would be under a lot of stress because of the type of work we do? So there's more to read in the article. I'm going to get to the principles now. So if you are interested in actually promoting emotional intelligence of children, some thoughts that you can note is that the skill of relating to others starts with the ability to have a positive relationship with oneself. Self-awareness, self-knowledge, self-motivation, self-understanding, self-approval, self-appreciation, self-love, and self-management greatly affect our relationship. Yeah. It's a lot of self stuff over there, so it's not self-centeredness, it's just a lot of self-awareness. But it does affect our relationship, and what we show on the outside is what we live on the inside. It's true for us, and it's true for the children that we work in. And it signals, the signals that we send to others already affect them as well. So it already affects that meaning-making that's happening between the two. Then our love and acceptance of kids should be genuine. So if you're trying to get involved in any of this, if it's not genuine, it's not going to work. And then most people, children included, us as well, believe in feelings more than words. So if I would say to you, no, I have no problem, but I'm frowning and I look angry, you're probably not going to believe my words. You're actually most likely, in your mind, going to perceive it as I'm angry. Okay. So then, the success of a relationship is not just the responsibility of one person. So we obviously take more responsibility in engaging a child, but it's still a co-created thing. Then the relationship management is about the management of emotions, the need for empathy, and to read nonverbal signs correctly. So just what I want to add in here is that this is not new. Of course, you have to read nonverbal signs if you do any kind of work with anyone. But the whole thing about emotional intelligence is how accurate you are about reading those signs. So it's a slight difference of emphasis. It's you can be reading things, but you're so used to making an assumption that this means this, and that you're not checking actually yourself and where this assumption comes from, and then you're making the wrong assumptions and you act out of what's going on inside. So usually after training, then people are a bit afraid for half an hour to say anything, you know, that will like show any emotional intelligence. But yeah, it is that bad about. So as an integrated system, our emotions, mind, and body are interrelated. So thinking and feeling affect decisions and actions. And then the creation of real life events is something that's driven by these authors, which stood out for me as something, a new concept to consider. It's not a new concept, it's just for me new. Is that the more if you try and do this emotional intelligence exercises with them, because obviously most of our things are activity-based if we want to learn, teach anything, the closer it is to real-life situations, the easier it is for a child to transfer what you learn, what you're teaching him to an actual real-life situation. So they have beautiful examples of how they're actually doing that. Like and I would think that it would come close to what we believe life space to be. So it's much closer to where they actually have to exercise the skill. And that would be your responsibility to create those opportunities. Then some activity examples. I won't be able to explain it to you, but what they have there is the ones that I used, where I just pulled out the social skills to be developed, is lending a helping hand. So the purpose that you get from an activity like that is they share themselves with others and they engage in positive behavior and emotions, so they get that feedback of what people, and then it's an actual real lending, you get them involved in project. My dream job is that you help them communicate their needs, so you can do it in a variety of ways. There's examples in the article. But it's just they actually start realizing what is it that they want to do with their life, but it's a way of getting them to practically communicate that to you. It encourages assertiveness and goal-directedness, because the moment you know where you want to go, then you come back and say, well, what do you need to do to get there? Then friendship fair is that involves exercises that helps them practice this, how to approach groups and to learn to appreciate friendships, and they also identify common topics. As they talk about things, certain common topics come up. Then there's also a family treasure box, and you'll see that in the article I related that to our child-headed families as well, because they would say rather to focus on the positive memories instead of just what is lost to them. They actually build a memory box to keep people alive that they might not have anymore. So that would be something that, especially in South Africa, it's quite relevant to use. And that would be the end. That's not my slide. So anyway, then I have this last word that I want to end off, which is etc. And then the other day I read also on Facebook that it says it's an abbreviation. The meaning of this word is an abbreviation that makes others think you know more than you actually do. So etc. Okay, any questions?
where can we find more information regarding this?
Okay, where can they find more information? Well, I have the article in my bag if you want to copy it, but I don't know if I'm allowed to ask Leon. So, yeah, so but I think you also gave me a PDF. So I'll have maybe my card here, so if you want to, then if it has your approval, really, or do you feel under pressure, I can send it to you, because they don't have any more prints of that, so that the book was apparently so popular that it's gone now. You're not going to print.
It'll be reprinted as an e-book, but we can get you a copy before.
The article salon, yeah.
It's the special issue, a special edition of Relational Child Youth Care Practice on a Child Youth Care Approach.
And it's quite a few pages, so there's a lot of information there. I really tried to, because they're tough peer reviewers, these, they kept on asking me to please explain myself better, so it's well explained.
It really is.
Thank you. Okay, no more questions? I'll have my cards on the table here. Okay. Happy. Okay.